Welcome to the latest Wahoo Central podcast in this summer of 2014. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com. Joining me today is Daquan Romero, a fourth-year linebacker on the UVA football team. Daquan, thanks for stopping by. How's the summer going?
Summer's going real good, you know, watching a whole lot of Gladiator movies. Well, I just finished watching Lone Survivor like four times. Actually, I watched it like four times in a row. My girlfriend's kind of upset because I kept watching it over and over.
It gets you pumped up? Or?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, just the basics of winning, you know, doing it for each other, not just for yourself.
Right.
You know, especially in Lone Survivor, where, you know, as they said, because I even watched a YouTube special, and, you know, they said they don't shoot the bullet for themselves. They shoot the bullet for the teammate right next to them to make sure they don't die. So, you know, there's a lot of positive things going on with me right now, and just trying to carry it over to the team as much as I can.
All right, let's start with your nickname. Your defensive coordinator, John Tenuta, insists on calling you Romo, but everybody else calls you Day-Day, it seems. How long have you gone by that, and how'd you pick up that nickname?
Well, Day-Day?
Yeah.
My mother gave me when I was, I don't even know the exact age, but it was definitely elementary school. I didn't like it at first, you know? I really didn't like it up to high school.
Is there a story behind it? Was that your first word out of your mouth or anything like that?
No, I just, you know, it was funny because all my friends had nicknames and I didn't have one. And I was like, Mom, what's my nickname? And she just like randomly said it. Like I was laying on her. We were just laying in the living room watching TV. I still remember this day. We were just laying down watching a movie or a TV or something. And I just randomly asked her, like, Mom, what's my nickname? She said, she thought for like, I think like 5 seconds.
She said Day-Day.
Said Day-Day. I was like, where you get that from? I don't like it. Yeah. I was like, I don't like it. You got to think of something else. But it just stuck. And then ever since high school, Coach D, he just made it real common. And then after a while, I just got used to it, you know, introducing myself as Day-Day.
You grew up in Hampton. You played in the Peninsula District, which has produced hundreds of outstanding football players over the years, some of whom have gone on to play at UVA. As a boy, how aware were you of the Tidewaters tradition in football, and did you emulate local players when you were growing up?
Honestly, I didn't know anything about high school high school football until eighth grade. I just played, you know, rec league, played in the neighborhood and stuff like that, but I didn't know of, like, which high school I was going
to. Did you
to.
Know how good Hampton and Phoebus and Bethel and even Kecoughtan had been in football?
No. I didn't know anything about the rivalry, none of that, until my eighth grade year. Like, that was my that was my first time going to a high school game. It was my eighth grade year.
So you didn't have any players and you were looking up to as a boy?
Mm-mm. Yeah. You know, you had the Ray Lewis's and the Ed Reed's, and I was a big fan of Sean Taylor. He was a great player. Yeah. And, you know, the Michael Strahan jokes.
Yeah,
so I had to become a fan of Michael Strahan, and you know he's a Hall of Fame DN, so that's what I played.
You graduated early from Phoebus High School in December 2010, enrolled at UVA the next month. Then you played as a true freshman that fall. Have your college years passed quickly?
Yes, quicker than I probably wanted it to. I always tell people coming in, I said, take advantage of college, man, because it'll be gone before you know it. You know, I was here. I feel like I was just coming in last January, and now it's about to be over my last semester.
Right. Last season was your first one as a full-time starter here, and you finished second on the team in tackles behind Henry Coley. How do you assess your performance last season? Were you happy with your play when you went back and looked at it?
Yeah, I was happy. You know, when I look back at film, because I think I've watched like every game, it's definitely a lot of things that I need to improve on, or that are some things that I just need to raise up, like intensity or just my emotions out there, because I'm kind of like a calm guy. But on the field, I feel like I need to bring that emotion out so that my teammates and the coaches know that I'm here 100% all in to play.
You played defensive end in high school, and you had to make the transition to outside linebacker in college. Looking back on it now, did that turn out to be a bigger challenge than you might have expected?
I felt like it took a little longer than I wanted it to, just because I didn't know any coverages.
Right.
I didn't know any drops. Usually, like, I was a defensive end, so I didn't really worry about what was going on behind me because I dictated what they did. But now, you know, everything's dictated off whether the lineman make goes this way, I got to go that way. If they make a mistake, I got to make them correct by going the opposite way. So, you know, it's just a lot more memory.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be more vocal at linebacker while you're talking to your DBs, your safeties, and you're talking to your D linemen, letting them know what to do.
Your final two seasons at Phoebus, you made 49 sacks, which is an amazing number. In college, as a linebacker, you don't get to rush the passer nearly as much. Do you miss that part of the game?
Yeah, I feel like I do miss that part of the game extremely a lot. But I feel like with Coach Tenuta's defense, you know, he's bringing us a lot more. I feel like I need to improve on my rushing skills, actually, because this is not high school.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a big part of where some kids get mixed up. They're thinking when you come to college, it's just going to be as easy. But no, you got to actually work on your pass rushes and work on your strength, because these linemen, 6'6", 315 on average maybe. So, you know, I feel like that's a big part of what I'm working on this summer, because I got to bring that back.
Did you have, like, a lot of pass rushing moves in high school, or did you just – I know you were quick. Did you just kind of blow past the tackle and get in the backfield?
I only really used like two moves in high school. And I was just like, just blow past them, like you said. And I learned one from James Harrison. It was like the speed to bull, because a lot of people thought I was just going to use my speed because I wasn't really that big.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started using my strength and getting up under them and just putting them back in the quarterback lap. And it worked out for me.
You moved from strong side linebacker to the weak side after your sophomore season here. You've also changed your body over the course of your college career. How much did you weigh when you arrived here back in January 2011, and what are you at now?
When I first got here, my weight's been funny since I've been in college. When I first got
been
here,
all over the place, right?
Been all over the place. I was at 207 when I first came into college. And by the end of the year, I was at 230. And it was because I thought, you know, in college you had to be big, strong. And I just packed on as much weight as I could, but being dumb, it wasn't good weight. It wasn't good weight. And then, like, I felt, I think last year I had got up to, like, 240 during the summer. But it wasn't really the weight I needed at the time because I couldn't carry it well.
Mm-hmm.
And now, right now, I'm, like, 232, between 232, 235.
Is that a good weight for you?
Yeah.
Is that where you want to play it?
Yeah. That's the weight that coach wants me to play at, 235, you know. Everybody's, you know, real pressuring on speed and quickness now, because that's the way the game is. Still want to be strong and powerful, but you got to have that speed.
At Phoebus, you played on some of the most dominant teams in Virginia High School League history. In your 4 years on the varsity, Phoebus won 3 state titles and lost one game. To me, that's absolutely mind-boggling. What was it like being part of a dynasty like that, and did that one loss stick with you for a long time?
I feel like it stuck with me because after the game, you know how that felt just to actually lose. That was my freshman year, actually, my first game. And I actually didn't start that game.
Was that in the playoffs or regular season?
The semifinals.
Okay.
Yeah, semifinals, right before the state championship.
So you finished your career with how many straight wins?
I don't know.
So your final 3 seasons, though, you did
I never that. Lost a game after that. After that game, I never lost a game. And just, you know, just that mindset to – you know how it feels to lose. You don't want that feeling again. You know, people crying, and you see the seniors, they're crying because their high school career is done. And you just sit back and you look at everybody, and you're like, I don't want to feel this. You know, losing is not a good feeling. It's not something that you can get used to or just adjust to. And I feel like, you know, with how the program has been in the past couple seasons, you got to change your mental. You know, it's a big mental thing. Like, you just can't be okay with losing.
Right.
You just got to go out there. And just like these movies I've been watching, Lone Survivor, you got to refuse for your body to tell you you're tired, for your mind to tell you you're tired, because you're not just doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your brothers right beside you.
Your first year here, as you mentioned, Virginia won 8 games, played in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. There have not been as many victories since then. How difficult has that part of your college career, the losing, been for you, especially given the success you had in high school?
That's a big barrier, you know. You know, you're not a loser. Nobody wants to lose. I don't feel like I'm a loser on the inside. And I know my teammates downstairs, they're not losers. You know, like, I've played against these guys, and I've seen them in action. You know, these guys are winners, and I've seen them play. I've seen them do amazing things on their former teams, but I feel like now we just have to bring it together, and that's the problem. We haven't really brought it all together as a team yet. Like, we're great individual players, but you can't win this sport individually. You got to find some way and somehow to bring it together as a team, and that's what we're searching for right now.
Your first 2 years here, the defensive coordinator was Jim Reed. John Tenuta took over in 2013. And as everyone knows, he has his own style, his own philosophy, his own language. Among the players, was there a greater comfort level with Coach Tenuta's system during spring ball this year, being in year two with him?
Yes, especially, you know, with me being on the outside looking in because I didn't do spring ball. Like, you can just see the difference from when he first got in until this year. Like, people are more comfortable. People are moving faster. They're not really thinking about what's going on. They're not really thinking about making a mistake. If they're making a mistake, they're making 100 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. They're making it in the backfield. Whereas last year, you know, sometimes we're a little hesitant in our steps. But now, you know, people are making calls. People are moving people in the right direction. Henry is doing a great job of instructing people to go here, go there. He's getting a better feel for the defense to where, you know, he can actually coach other people and still know what he's doing himself.
On the defensive side, such players as Eli Harold, Mike Moore, David Dean, Dante Wilkins, Henry Coley, who you mentioned, Max Vallis, Zach Bradshaw, Maurice Kennedy, Trey Nicholson, Draquan Hosky, Tim Harris, Brandon Phelps, and Anthony Harris are back this year, along with yourself, of course. And you're adding first-year guys like Andrew Brown and Quinn Blanding. On paper, this looks like it should be an outstanding defense. I mean, what do you see as the potential of this group?
I mean, you know, potential, I talked about this with Coach Higgins, Biscuit. Mm-hmm. Potential is just a word, you know. It's up to us as a team or as a defense to bring full use to that word and go above and beyond. And I feel like, you know, we have the entire potential or, man, we have a great opportunity to be a great defense and put up a lot of numbers on defense with turnovers and tackles for loss and sacks. But us as a team, not just as individuals, but us as a defense have to be willing and knowing that we're riding for each other. Mm-hmm. Like, those down there, the defense, those are my brothers. Like, I love those guys. We talk, we hang out, and I feel like our connection and our bond is so strong that we hold each other accountable to not make a mistake. And if one of us do, then we're entitled to let each other know. Right. And I feel like with that, we just have great potential ahead of us. But we have to be willing to seek full. We have to do what we have to do to make that potential correct.
Off the field, you're on track to graduate in December with a bachelor's degree in African American studies. What interested you about that major, and what's your experience in it been like?
Honestly, LaRoy Reynolds and Professor Claudina Harrell has inspired me to go about that as my major in my time here at University of Virginia. Roy was real big in, you know, like, black poverty and knowing his history and why, you know, the pride in what we do in African-American studies. And Claudina Harrell is probably one of, like, my favorite. She is my favorite professor here at the University of Virginia. And for obvious reasons, like, she's so smart. Like, she knows everything, and she knows how to connect with our generation and understand, make us understand, like, it's more important than what we're doing now and what things have changed. Like, what the time has come to is where, like, we're taking everything that our ancestors and people in the past have done for us for granted because we're just, you know, not reading or we're getting books, but we're just leaving them in our book bags, or we're not doing our homework, or people may not, you know, write their papers and stuff like that. It's just brought in a way bigger understanding for me and a way bigger pride for myself being an African-American man myself. So,
is this something that you, as LaRoy did to you, maybe if you recommended this to, you know, some of your younger teammates who are still in the process of picking their major and deciding what they're going to do?
Yeah, definitely. You know, with African-American studies, it's a lot of reading and a lot of writing. And, you know, sometimes people don't like doing it, but I tell them the same like Roy told me. It's something you have to do. like your entire life, you're going to have to read, you're going to have to write. Mm-hmm. So you might as well get familiar with it now.
One last question, then I'll let you go. You're the proud father of a young son named Brandon. I would guess that's made you grow up a little faster than a lot of your peers back in Hampton and here at UVA. How has fatherhood changed you?
Well, I had to be a father young. At the age of 16, I was actually a father because his birthday is November 13th and mine's the 11th. So right when I turned 16, I had a son 2 days later. And it just made me mature a lot quicker than I would say. I was already mature than my age or the people around me, but it just made me mature that much faster. And it brought a lot of responsibility because before my mom used to tell me I had no responsibility. Like mm-hmm. I would forget things, everything like that. But my mom did a good job of installing these things and these morals inside of me that you have to be a father to your son, because my father wasn't really around until I turned 15. So she was like, she used to tell me, if you don't want your son to feel like how you felt when you were a father, when you were his age, then make sure you do the things that you hated that your father mm-hmm. did to you. And it just made me grow up and, you know, be around and make sure, you know, I install discipline and responsibility to him now, even at the age of 6, because these things, you know, you're going to need your entire life.
Mm-hmm. Day-Day, thanks again for stopping by. Good luck this summer and fall.
Thank you.
In less than a month, the football team will open training camp, so the summer is flying by. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for news and updates on all 25 of our teams. And thanks for listening.